Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Sounds like someone's trying to follow you on Instagram. Use that, and they're saying your Instagram is private. I didn't think that was the case.
No.
We've had a lot of texters misspeak this morning.
I don't think it is.
Maybe
right?
They're just spelling it wrong. It's U, the letter U as in unicorn. Z as in zebra. E-T-T-E. U-Z. People put in Y's. They think I'm Y-O-U-U. No, it's U, the letter U, like an upside down horseshoe.
Maybe they could...
Yeah, follow us all on Instagram. We're super jealous of Alice973. I recently found out that she has 20,000 more followers than we do. We're
so
the
popular
ones who do all the interesting
than
posting.
You do. 20,000 more than you do.
Than any of us.
What is it called?
40,000 more than me.
What's it called when they like can send you a private message on your
DM? Direct message?
That is direct message. Mm-hmm. So maybe they could direct message me. Maybe I can add them or something. I don't know.
Well,
how
sometimes
that works.
If they're not your friend and they DM you, you have to go through this other thing where it says like other messages.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Yeah, you have to
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
You have to check like your messages where you're they're not your friend, your direct friends.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so it's a whole another thing. That's another level.
I've never seen that.
Just
show me. I'd love to see what.
Do you respond to the people that DM you, Sarah?
Nobody ever DMs me.
You probably have a whole list of people that have.
No, I have like I think that Scott Capurro. I mean, I can find my DMs. I just don't know. Yeah, it's only ever people that I know. Mm. Like actually, speaking of that, Eddie Ift, I just DM'd him. I figured that out. Vinny had to explain it to me.
Did he mansplain you?
He did. He mansplained it how to get to it. Because his website is messed up. He's actually going to be in town at the end of March. He's going to be on the show. He is doing a Tuesday night show, 27th of March, at the Throckmorton in Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Wednesday, he is at the Punchline in San Francisco. But there's like a Lake Tahoe date listed on the same exact day. So, but we do know for a fact that he's, don't be confused by his website. He is at the Punchline on Wednesday, March 28th, and in Mill Valley at the Throckmorton on Tuesday, the 27th. So Eddie Ift, and he'll be on our show too. We love this guy.
He's great.
If you've never heard him on the show, please try to be here for.
I wish he would come around more often, though.
I know.
I feel like I see him once every year and a half or something.
Well, he's touring the nation, and he's become like nonstop. And I guess it's the kid, but he's nonstop touring.
Yeah,
nonstop. So.
His kid's cute. Just a little younger than your kid, right?
Yeah. Kansas City, Pittsburgh. Every now and then, like, he's in Seattle and Portland.
Australia.
That's a crazy life, being a touring comedian. So, Eddie Ift, he's one of our favorites. If you don't go out usually on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, consider it. It's a great night to see comedy. People are really there and paying attention, and as opposed to, you know, drunk and screaming with nothing else to do. Exactly. There's nothing worse than a guy trying to do comedy and it's the late show on a Saturday and some wasted person is just spewing at them.
Doing their own show.
Right. They want to be on the show, apparently. Like, get your own spot. So, Eddie Ift, a couple dates coming up at the end of March. And are those on our website, too, or just on his?
I don't think they are, but I'll message Ron and Brad to put it on.
All right. Thank you. We had a local winner yesterday. Guy from Vallejo by the name of Christian. Congratulations.
What's up?
Yes, Christ. Congratulations on your $1,000 win. So The Bachelor finally ended on Tuesday night. I didn't get to watch it until yesterday. There was a lot of talk about this season because if you haven't watched the very, very end of it, here's some spoilers. That show's a guilty pleasure for me. I mean, we actually fast forward through quite a lot of it. I mean, you get the gist of what's happening on the date, you know, pretty quickly. In the end, it came down to this very beautiful girl named Becca and this very beautiful girl named Lauren.
Did you have a favorite?
Well, Becca is just overall just like she's a girl you could be friends with. And Lauren is very nice. But she's one of those people that it's like a super challenge to thread 16 words together at a time. And she's even in the context of the show where they can cut out anything that they want to. She repeats herself over and over, and she needed constant reassurance from him that they were that things were going in the right direction. And she's beautiful and kind. She's I don't want to say anything bad about her, but she's just not the sharpest tack or something. Hot, though, like hot rig and super cute. Becca is, I think she's more of a challenging person. Like she's just a, she's got spirit and a good personality, and
all right.
She's attractive and a nice ass. I mean, she's really got the whole package.
Becca does.
Becca. In fact, she's going to be, spoiler alert, the next Bachelorette.
Oh, so she lost.
She won. He got down on one knee and proposed to her. And then in an incredibly uncomfortable and completely unedited half-hour video that they showed on Monday Night's show, she gets broken up with a month and a half later. He can't stop thinking about Lauren, the girl that he ditched at the final rose ceremony, which is, you know, one person gets proposed to, the other one gets broken up with.
So hold on. You're telling me that he chooses this one girl.
Becca.
Becca. And then the show ends?
Then... ostensibly, the show is supposed to end. So they air that on Monday night. And then.
And it's the final rose and he proposes?
By the way, it was 3 hours of fun on Monday night and 2 hours of fun on Tuesday night. And by fun, I mean the opposite of that.
Oh.
So by whatever, the second hour or whatever, they're engaged and they show a lot of shots from their
so
few
proposes,
days.
He proposes
to Becca. She's so happy. She can't wait. And then by the end of the show, he's like, I was really honest with her about my struggles. I was also going through a breakup at the time that I got engaged to her, and I couldn't stop thinking about Lauren. So he winds up contacting Lauren and about a month and a half after this whole thing went down, and it's like, what do you think? Could I have another chance? So on last night's show, they show him going to Lauren's house, and she forgives him and gives him a second chance, and by the end of the show, he's down on one knee and proposes to the second woman, and now they're together.
He will for sure end up with neither.
Right.
That is an absolute guarantee.
Well, listen, it isn't a guarantee because here's what happened 7 years ago. There was another bachelor who proposed. Melissa Rycroft is the woman that he proposed to at the end. I don't know how long ago this was, but it was. Oh, you know what? It must have been 8 or 9 years ago, because he's been married to the girl that he broke up with for 8 years now. So he picks one of the girls, breaks up with her, and goes for choice number two. They're now married, and I think they have a kid, and they're one of the few success stories. So
is that right?
So there's 100% rate of success for the people who ditched the girl that they originally proposed to, because what happened one other time. So everybody hates Ari, and who even, and honestly, in this world, in today's world, with all the problems we have, this is a, I barely wanted to bring it up today because I'm like, oh my God, who cares? But they're crying about all the hate on social media. I'm like, don't look at it. Don't look at social media.
Well, but that's not an option.
Yes, I know. Well, they all want to be stars, really, at the end of it. So, and then in an uncomfortable 15-minute segment, Becca, who's now been named the new Bachelorette, meets the first five dudes that are she's going to be meeting when the show kicks off again in April or May or whenever it starts back up. It was so awkward and so uncomfortable as these dudes come up and one's playing a banjo and one's got a horse for her to get back up on. You know, you just got ditched, get back up on the horse.
Oh, boy.
It was very super crunchy. Like, each guy was there way too long. Like, usually when you meet them for the first time, it's just like, hey, wow, I'm so excited to be here. I'll see you in the mansion. See you in the house. We'll... But no, it's they're right there in the middle of the show in a live audience, and they've got fighting. The guy's like, I'm out of things to say. And she's clearly out of things to say, too. So it's over is really my summary.
All right.
And we'll see what happens with Lauren. Maybe we'll get to have a wonderful marriage special or something.
No.
Anyway, there you go.
Hey, 415 says, Sarah, don't forget that Lauren has been engaged 3 times before, and she's only 25.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, she's beautiful. I guess they just get like, are you going to talk at all in this relationship? No. Like, four word max.
Hmm.
And that was her four words for the whole day. So I also wanted to briefly touch on Survivor.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why they, spoiler alert, if you didn't see Survivor last night, we're about to talk about Survivor from last night. Spoiler alert.
It was a total CF by the end. I really had no idea going in why or who or what.
But she is right. The one girl, what's her name? What is the girl, the blonde, the super cute blonde girl, when the lady who got voted off goes, watch out for the cute blonde.
Right.
Is it Jenna?
No. It's like Kellen? Libby.
Libby.
It's Libby.
Okay. Is cute as a freaking button.
Yeah, she's like, cute.
And
I actually really liked the girl they sent home, too, although she gets a little loud when she's talking. And
right,
she,
but also she voted that girl out. Like, they'd become friends. And she was like, we're both Catholic. I get along and we're good. And saw that coming?
They misplayed that so badly. And that Ghost Island thing was a major part of why that all went so far south.
I forgot all about the dude who got sent home with two idols in his bag.
I know. Oh, I'm loving the Ghost Island thing where they're sort of showing you how things went horribly wrong on other seasons. And you have a chance to sort of reverse the curse, they're calling it.
Yeah.
It's good.
I like that the kid who won the idol this time is all, I remember James. Was it James?
It was.
I remember James. I was 4 years old or something when I first started watching the show, and I remember the season. And I was like, wow, that kid knows all about this. And here he is full circle.
Because they had to show me a clip before I remembered anything about these people.
Absolutely. And frankly, for those of you who out there have this idea of reality TV stardom, when they start showing all the old people who've been on the show, I'm all, oh, yeah, that chick. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Right.
There's so many who've come and gone.
Many they show, I'm like, I have no recollection of that person
really?
At all. They were showing all the people from, was it Survivor China that James
yes.
was on?
Uh-huh.
They showed, vaguely remember that girl.
Okay.
And then they showed some other guy. I'm like, no, got nothing on him. But James, I did remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when they send you to Ghost Island, what if you don't know like past seasons and they give you those clues? Like, are you kind of ass out because you don't know?
No, it's maybe.
I think everybody's studied, though. It seems people know.
Yeah, but Ghost Island isn't really about that. What was the very first little challenge there that the kid had to do? Was it something about a past episode? Because there's a lot of like trinkets and stuff there, but
right.
I'm not sure.
I did think.
Oh, it was the legacy thing.
He was given that.
Right.
He didn't have to do anything for it, but break the little glass, and it was.
Oh, I thought he had to then play a game in order to win that.
I remember. But I thought it was. So the guy who got sent to the island this time, he starts talking, and then I hear a hitch in his voice, and I'm all,
Oh, me too. I'm like, is this guy crying?
Don't start crying. And sure enough,
he's wailing.
10 minutes
into well. And then he goes into a story about his mom. When he was born, his mom already had MS. And they told his mom she had 2 months to live, and it's 10 years later. And so, but they get me every time with I hear the tears, and I'm like, oh, come on. And then he has this horrid story, and I'm like, oh, I'm such a jerk.
No, you're not. It's it's very early days for that guy to be having a full-on breakdown.
He completely undid.
By the way, he's a male model, apparently. They keep putting that up as his occupation.
Who?
Is that right?
What is his name, Vinny?
I don't know, but
he
is the guy who actually almost got that other girl thrown out. That was a trip. As she's sitting there saying, I don't want to be with this guy. He's barking orders at me, and I don't like that.
Angela.
Yep. And I thought, oh.
And they think she's his right-hand man, and they're about to throw her out.
And she's ready to vote him off.
Right.
Oh, that guy. Okay, his name is Chris.
Okay.
Well, Chris would have been doomed last night had he not been sent to the...
Yeah, he was saved by going to Ghost Island. Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go.
Survivors.
So was it an hour or 2 hours?
One hour.
All right, I'll watch it this week.
Good challenge, too. I liked the challenge. Here's something fun that I just thought I'd throw out there. Just let's have a little fun with this. Russell Crowe and his wife, Danielle Spencer, are finally, officially getting divorced. They've been separated for 5 years. They've been married a long time. Let's see. April 7th, coming up here, would have been their 15th anniversary. They're throwing a little auction party. I guess they get along pretty well. And I think, don't they have a couple kids? Him and this Danielle Spencer. So they're throwing an event. It's called The Art of Divorce. Yeah. And they're auctioning off art, furniture, watches, vehicles, musical instruments, and some of Russell's movie memorabilia. A Roman chariot, armor and weapons from Gladiator. A naval uniform from Master and Commander. Other items from Les Mis, Cinderella Man, LA Confidential, and Romper Stomper, which is apparently a movie he did that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
So they're doing it April 7th. One of the most expensive items, they say, is going to be this violin from Master and Commander. It dates back to 1890. And they think they're going to make about $3 million from everything.
Cool.
Russell says, on the practical side, this collection probably equates to 3 rooms full of things I'll no longer have to care for, document, clean, tune, and insure. So they're going to get some cash, and he's going to clean out the old warehouse. Which is sort of fun.
And a marriage is over.
And the marriage is over.
But he ruined that when he decided to bang Meg Ryan during what movie was that?
I don't know what movie it was. Maybe it was Romper Stomper. Some movie they did together.
Romper Stomper came out in 1982.
No, yeah, it was like a kidnapping movie. What was that called? Proof of Life.
You're thinking, you're right, it's Proof of Life. But he ruined her marriage to Dennis Quaid. He wasn't married.
He wasn't married yet?
I don't think he was married yet, because they would have just now been celebrating 15 years, which would have put them more at like 93 or 94.
Oh, all right.
Parks and Rec co-stars. I love this. This is for me. This one's for me, you guys. Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman. They're famous for Parks and Rec together.
Yeah.
And she's an SNL chick.
It's a really funny show.
They have a new show coming to NBC this summer, and it sounds like it's a reality show. It's called Making It, and it's all about competitive crafting. Contestants will compete against each other to see who's the craftiest.
Our brother Sarah, that is for you.
I know. This is for me. I told you it was for me.
You know, don't we already have all these chores shows?
Making It will have people compete to see who's the craftiest, whether it's by painting, drawing, or working with wood, metal, or fabric. Nick Offerman says, as a woodworker myself, I'm awfully proud to showcase all of these talented makers and be reunited with my charismatic pal Amy to boot. It's going to premiere on July 31st. She's crafty. So competitive crafting from the kids from Parks and Rec. I don't know how it'll be, but they had something that was like, you know, Project Runway. Which I love that show. They had something like Project Handbag or Project Accessory, or I don't remember the name of it, but it was kind of like that. They set up these people in a workshop, and they had to make a shoe, make a purse, make earrings or jewelry or what have you, and they would do it in their style.
I don't remember
with
that
all these.
At all.
It didn't last long.
Oh.
So I don't know how Making It is going to go.
Right.
But there's something you can look for over the summer. And oh, I also don't see a network or anything.
I think it's NBC.
Oh, it is. You're right. It's NBC. You're amazing.
Good job, Ren.
He's got to run for his NBC.
Just broke his arm trying to make that sound, but you know.
Gotta find the stick first, too.
Silicon Valley is coming back. I think the date.
The show.
Yes, the show Silicon Valley on
HBO. I was going to say, the place seems to be booming. What are you talking about?
Nope, it's coming back.
All right.
Season 5, I believe I read this morning, is March 25th. It's right around the corner. The big change is going to be that T.J. Miller isn't on the show anymore.
I can't believe they're going on without him.
So they actually are saying the decision to let go of T.J. Miller as part of the hit show's cast had been a long time coming. He reportedly, according to this story here from the SF Gate, he had demons related to self-medication with alcohol and other things, as some who worked on the show say. And producers say he would sometimes show up to the set late or not at all. So shooting schedules often had to be reconfigured. Mike Judge, who is also the creator of Beavis and Butthead, for those of you who didn't know about that little piece of genius, he's the creator of Silicon Valley. And he said it just wasn't working. Miller was offered the option to appear in 3 episodes of the upcoming season 5, but he opted out, citing film work. And then the whole sexual harassment thing, or sexual assault from a former classmate, right? A college classmate.
Yeah.
So he's got some stuff going on. Let's see. They actually made a Golden State Warriors, like a sports analogy. These guys are the Golden State Warriors of comedy. So it's like, yeah, we've lost Andre Iguodala, but we still have Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and some other guy on the Warriors whose name I don't know. But I don't feel like we can't win championships anymore because we've lost. And then he pauses there and says, TJ wasn't LeBron.
Okay.
You know, so good start on the analogy.
Yeah,
but
that's interesting.
Not a solid and not a strong ending.
Yeah, he
should have stuck with Steph. That would have been the move.
He was such the major DB. Like, who's going to take that place unless they bring in a new character?
They're going to need a new DB.
Yeah.
And plus, they lived at his house. So they actually.
Oh, right.
They wrapped up the episode with him. I think that Gavin Belson had left him in the Himalayas or wherever he was to get Zen. Remember that?
I'm not up on.
Kind of.
I'm not caught
yeah.
up on this.
So he got addicted to opium or whatever. T.J. Miller's character, Ehrlich Bachman, got addicted, and Gavin Belson, who can't stand the guy, is like, "How much would it cost for me to just leave him here for the next 5 years?" And they're like, and he hands him a stack of cash. And
oh,
so it was actually kind of a neat out anyway. Ehrlich says, or I should say, T.J. Miller. Says, this will blow your readers' minds, but I'm not high when I work because it gets in the way of the comedy. I'm also not a guy who's blackout drunk bumping into things on set. What was occurring is I was out doing stand-up all the time, even if it meant I only got 3 hours of sleep. So the thing I have a problem with, it's pushing myself to do too much. And the bottom line is the show's starting back up and he's not going to be on it.
All right.
So it remains to be seen.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know what? I guess I'm out of time.
Hit shows just don't. Grow on trees.
They do not, sir.
Sorry.
They don't.
TJ.
I know.
And
it's
that, what was that? The emoji movie didn't go well. That was his last.
That's the last thing I heard he was in. He plays.
He's going to be in Deadpool 2.
Oh, is he? Well, that's going to be a hit.
Sure. He'll get residuals for that for a while. I'm sure he's still getting nice checks. What's coming up in the news, Ben?
San Francisco wins again.
Oh, yay. Uh-oh, what have we won now?
Yeah, it's not good.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. This part of the program is this week we are celebrating the Taste of Yountville. It is a 2-day food and wine and music festival, March 17th and 18th. It's in the heart of Napa Valley's wine country with over 30 restaurants sampling signature dishes, 60-plus wineries, live music, chef demonstrations, mixologists, craft beer, and more.
It sounds amazing.
It sounds right up Hooman's alley.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Hold on to me.
The Radio Alice Report.
All right. Sounds nice.
Here's what's happening. So when I got up this morning, it was pouring.
Oh, pouring.
So I guess we're going to be okay through the day today, but there's rain tomorrow in the forecast and rain into next week as well.
Oh.
So there's rain.
Finally.
But I guess you didn't see any of it, huh?
Well, it was very wet and lots of puddles, but like mist at best.
Oh, dumping at my house.
It had clearly rained all night.
But cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got a little rain.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be snow up in Tahoe.
And let's fill up those reservoirs. You know what I noticed this morning when I left my house? It was warm out. Like, I actually was like, holy.
Oh, bad news.
I know.
We don't want that.
Well, still, it wasn't 30. It was like 47, which I find to be an improvement.
A couple dudes I talked to yesterday, young skateboarder types. Actually, they were in their 30s, younger.
Sure, way younger than you. But
dreadlock kids, you know, they said they went up and got the fresh snow just recently, I was just chatting him up out in front of the grocery store. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Nothing. You're a friendly dude.
I just get to talking, and there I am 20 minutes later. I'm like, you know, I ought to go.
Yeah.
This is weird. Anyway, so people are up there enjoying the snow.
Yes.
This late in the season is pretty nice.
And hopefully it'll go later and later. I'm with you. I hope every drop that falls here falls as snow there and that we go way into April. That'd be great.
Jane says it's raining in Alameda right now.
There you go. So...
Jane, she says that there's rain. Hey!
Jane broadcasts on these same airwaves she in sure the afternoon does. Hours on Alice. Enjoy her show. She's great. And you can follow her at Jane Picks. I was thinking, what if we just tell people to unfollow Alice? Then we could be them that way.
No.
No? Bad plan?
I'm thinking that Alice might get mad.
I think Michael Martin would appreciate that.
Okay.
We just want more Instagram followers. Right. We're a little butt sore that we don't have the same amount of listeners, followers, I should say, as Alice973 does. So please, follow us on Instagram. We're super interesting.
We post stuff.
Yeah, we post all kinds of stuff. Lots of pictures of Vinny's kid. Lots of pictures of my backyard.
Bryn's kid.
Oh, my God. Bryn's kid. He's going to post his avocado trees that he's sprouting. Hooman is everywhere all the time. Like, I am in awe of him. I'm like, where is he at now? This seems like too much. And Yuzi, everything she drinks, she posts on there. There's always some gorgeous drink on there.
I was going to say, I'm naked.
Oh, we're all naked. Sure. We're all naked on our Instagrams, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, that'll
Am I not following you? Because I'm not catching those posts.
Oh, that must be your private account, Penny.
Oh, well. All right. I got the wrong one.
Yeah, please follow us on Instagram.
Anyway, rain and it's... Where was I? Oh, yeah. Today is International Women's Day, everyone.
Women of the world.
You're bleeping awesome.
Oh, thanks.
And if you want to know how to celebrate or some ways to celebrate, you can go to RadioAlice.com because there's some events today, some rallies, there's a run, and more. So this story is about San Francisco winning the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
The cheapest and most expensive places to raise a family in America. And San Francisco was the number one most expensive metro area with a basic budget of $148,000 per year for a two-parent, two-child household. And most places aren't bringing in the money needed. So a lot of people are having to find a way to make, ends meet.
Right. I'm surprised that New York didn't win that one. I would think it'd be more expensive there, but it's pricey. It's not a surprise to anyone to hear that we're topping that list.
Maybe they have more apartments and other affordable ways to.
It must be
to rent or to live. Yeah. We don't seem to have
super limited.
A lot of options.
What was the least expensive place to raise a family?
Brownsville, Texas.
Oh. And what does it cost? Does it say what it costs there?
$58,000 per year budget for a two-parent, two-child household.
Huh.
That makes it the least expensive metro in the country. I don't know where Brownsville is.
I don't either. But it's in Texas,
to,
so.
Making that.
North of Dallas.
Yeah. You do hear that, you know, Texas is for sure a cheap place to go live.
Well, you can afford a home there,
mm-hmm.
and you get a lot for your buck.
You sure do.
My parents lived there for a minute.
What part?
Near Dallas.
Yeah. My sister and brother-in-law lived there
and
for a while.
And they had what? You know what they had? They had the kind of house you would hope. If you bought a home here in the Bay Area for $1 million, you would hope it looked like that.
Oh.
Five bedrooms, giant, big, tall ceilings. The stuff that you would expect
if you paid $1 million
home to look like. Brand new.
Right.
All the stuff. $1 million. There, that was, I think, $400,000.
It's
And you got a giant house. Tons of space.
You live in Texas.
Yards with, I know. I'm not. Hey, That's listen. I'm only, not moving there.
I hear you. It is actually super disheartening, though, when you hear how much more you get elsewhere. I mean, I get it. The trade-off is we get to live here in the Bay Area and California and see the ocean and
I love where I live.
Yeah.
So
oh, I know.
Don't
you
get
don't.
Me wrong. Yeah. I mean, I just recently a trip to Hawaii. I love it there. It's nice, but I love home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you 5-hour plane ride. About 3 hours into that, I'm picking my butt, going, "Man, I'm bored. I could have stayed home. This is bunk.
5 hours wasted on a plane.
What is this?" Mm. You know. Then I got there, and it was wonderful. But
yeah.
Anyway,
your baby moon. Because Vinny's having another baby, in case you haven't heard that yet. I just want to make sure everyone knows. I don't want it to be a surprise to someone, you know, when he leaves in August for a couple weeks of paternity leave. And they're like, why is he gone?
Well.
Baby!
I also, although I'm using that as paternity leave, I think we're all as a show going to stay when you take vacation this summer.
I know, it's going to be so weird. Well, I was thinking, too, that, you know, Brittany took 6 weeks. And I actually wouldn't argue that. I think it's good. I'm not, mm-hmm. You know, take what you need. I think I think it's an important part of your.
Bryn's situation is a little different than, my name's on the thing, you know. I mean, I think it's a little different.
You could have him run a line. That's what
well,
I did.
Well, I'm not going to decide right now, but I'm planning the 2 weeks I took last time. Right. I think that's more than enough.
You want to get out of there, huh?
Well,
yeah, he does not want to be at home.
I also like to do my job. I just like it here.
Of course you do, but I want you to know that.
Thanks.
You take what you need.
All right.
I have a correction. Brownsville is south of Dallas.
All right. No worries.
North, south.
Had to deal with the text.
You know what?
Me.
It's in Texas.
Oh, were they texting?
Oh.
I didn't even notice.
In honor of International Women's Day today, a McDonald's in Linwood, California, flipped the golden arches on its sign upside down and took it from an M to a W.
That is so cool.
I didn't know. I saw the story, but I didn't read why they did that. Oh, okay.
So that's the logo
is a W.
Which is great.
It is great.
So
I think that's wonderful. It makes me actually want to go and say, thank you, McDonald's. I am a woman, and I'm going to eat your all-beef patty. Because they're going all... Oh, no, it's not all beef. It's fresh beef.
They just started using fresh beef, actually. That's their new thing.
Yeah, that was the story yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I may have to go try that now that they've flipped it to a W.
I think that's pretty neat.
It is neat. That's what a cute thing and a good way to get some positive press.
Well, and... Time's up is right now.
It sure is.
So this is the time to flip your logo if you're going to do that, right. No doubt.
And frankly, you know, there's a lot of people that do things for Time's Up or for women that feel pandery, you know, like, oh, of course you're trying to capitalize on all these people's pain.
I look at it as trying to stay relevant.
Sure. But I think
that's cool.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also overdue. And I do think I was just watching Survivor last night when that lady was like, that guy won't stop barking orders and mansplaining how we're going to play the game. And I'm not his. And I thought, damn, man, you know, that guy doesn't even know he's doing it. He's just being.
Making assumptions.
Right. Being a DB and telling her how it is and doesn't. And he needs to see that. And then later he's crying about his mom and the same guy is crying about his mom. And you go. Maybe when he sees how he's behaved and how he's seen, this will be where he makes a change.
Or not.
We'll find
out.
It's
hard for people to really see themselves.
Unless you're on national TV and everyone tweets.
Well, maybe someone will mansplain it to him.
Sure. This is one of those stories that's always interesting to get your opinion on. A new survey asked more than 14,000 people what major scientific and technological breakthroughs they think they'll see in their lifetime. And here are some of the results. Do you think in your lifetime you will see a cure for cancer? Not do you hope, do you think you'll see it?
Well, if you mean like a sweeping injection that people will get to, I don't know, prevent or cure. I don't know if that's, it seems like every cancer is so different. I actually think we have seen some cures for cancer. Some people have been cured from cancer. So I'll say yes. What do people think?
67% of us think we will see that happen during our lifetime.
Well, my lifetime is getting shorter all the time.
Yeah.
I used to think I had 100 years. I got like half of that now, you know. I croak pretty soon.
I often wonder if there are already cures out there, but the pharmaceutical companies are not letting us
We've
have
We've heard
that.
Stuff like that. It's a whole conspiracy.
I do not
want
to
believe
that.
And I'm not really into theories like that, but I, you know, just
well,
cross
think
my
about what
mind.
It costs them to, you know, yeah. what it costs people and hospitals and whoever else to pay for the treatment of cancer when you can. There's a cure for like Hep C or there's something that was previously considered only manageable, and they've made the. It's like a series of shots that cost $80,000 because they figure, well, if we're going to cure you, it's gonna cost you.
Is that right?
Yeah. My cousin who's a doctor was telling me, he's like, yeah, you can, there's a few things that you can cure, but it costs.
Didn't Pam Anderson say that?
She had Hep C, I think.
Yeah, and I think she
her
was
and Tommy.
Cured.
She said she was because it was a series of shots. She said Tommy had to do it for like X amount of weeks, and then she had to do it for a little bit longer amount of weeks. But I think she was talking to Piers Morgan about that.
Mm. Oh, just
oh,
recently.
Just recently,
oh,
yeah.
Funny.
I saw just a clip.
Yeah, but they priced it to a point where the average person simply can't afford that, mm-hmm. and the insurance companies only want to pay for the very, you know, much cheaper maintenance stuff.
You want to know the 11 celebrities with Hep C?
Yeah.
Ken Watanabe, do you know who that is?
Yeah, he's from, isn't he a Crouching
no.
Dragon?
Yeah, yeah, he's a Crouching Tiger, that's exactly right. Pamela Anderson, you said, Velvet Underground musician Lou Reed.
Well, he's passed.
He's passed, yeah.
So these are just people who famously have had it, because apparently
Steven
Pam doesn't
Tyler.
Oh, not
Natalie
surprising.
Cole.
Oh.
Greg
she's dead
Allman.
Too. Dead. Yeah.
He's dead.
Naomi Judd.
Oh, yeah. I've
Is that
heard
right?
about her,
David
yeah.
Crosby.
Oh.
And then a football player named Rolf, Benirschke.
Benirschke.
Yeah.
Is David Crosby dead?
No. I don't think so.
He is a phenom.
76.
So, yeah. So, actually, we've gone way off.
Robots at work. In your lifetime, will you see it in your lifetime?
I don't think we'll see it. Do these computers count as robots?
I they are, as have robots, a tendency yeah. to think that,
they are
yes.
doing a lot of the manual labor that we used to have to do. We used to have to record things onto cartridges and put, you know, you have to load stuff. I don't load anything anymore. You know what I load? I click to load things into a virtual player. That's how we play our commercials and our music. It's all digital.
Robots in every home.
Does you know a Roomba that? Count?
Roomba.
Or your Echo?
I was going to say that may not count yet, but that's pretty. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can ask it any question. You can.
Yeah, I think we'll
like
see
have
that.
It turn on the lights, open the garage.
My kid barks orders at it.
I think
play that, Coco.
That's coming for sure.
Skip that song.
Jesus.
The AI that they show in, I'm reading that book, Origin, that the Dan Brown that,
you liking
that
it?
You recommended.
No, you're not.
I am liking it very much. I'm just at the point where the thing happened.
It's about to go.
Oh, really? Oh it hasn't
good.
Already?
Well, it's already.
I really like it. I love the little headset. Is that real? The headset technology that kind of like it you attach it to your, you don't put it on your ears, you put it on your cheekbones or like up
I've
on your.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that and it resonates. No, yeah, well, I guess you could do it for music, but it's basically instead of going, it somehow you hear it inside your head.
Yeah, at the start of the book, it says everything that we're talking about is real.
Mm.
I don't know if that's more nonsense or not, but there's a lot of stuff that goes down where you're all, wow.
Well, anyway, it's an exciting book.
He had a couple clunkers there for a minute too, Dan Brown.
I fell off of him a while ago. But so as far as robots go, I mean, I that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Flying cars.
Flying cars?
Flying cars. In your lifetime.
I don't think so.
I don't
they already
think so
exist,
either.
Though.
I mean, yeah, but I
governed.
Mean, in general use, it seems like the air traffic control on that would just be, whenever I see like a futuristic city and there's layers of traffic flying by, I'm always like, I don't know.
Does it count if like a billionaire just wants to fly his car around?
No.
So will they exist? Yes. But will they be in general everyday use? I doubt it.
What about traveling to and living on Mars in your lifetime?
Well, I don't doubt that we'll travel there. I don't know if anyone will be permanently living there. I would love to see that. So I will say yes.
In our lifetime, absolutely
go
not.
Elon. Go,
I
Elon.
I don't think so
go,
either. But go, you know what?
Go. He says so.
I want to say they've already launched that. They've launched like 9 rockets already this year. They're quietly pretty hard at work on that.
Yep.
Telepathy.
I believe in you, Elon.
Teleportation.
No. That's
all right.
Never
Elon's having a tough time just spending the night by himself.
I know. Poor thing. We got to get him a girlfriend quick so he can keep pumping out the great ideas.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. 408 says, Meg Ryan was way before Danielle Spencer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Why are they being so stupid on Ghost Island and breaking the clay tubes in order? Why not pick a random one?
I totally agree.
We said the same thing
I'm
while
like,
watching it.
Do they have to do that? Just pick any one.
I think that's just the, like...
Maybe they have to.
Or maybe they just, you know... Right. Here's what you do.
I'm breaking this one.
Why are all the... WTH. Why are all the guys in their underpants? It's nice, but gross at the same time.
Yeah, it's super gross.
I don't understand that either. Why are they?
Haven't they sort of always been? You hardly ever see a pair of regular swim trunks there. If I was ever going to be on Survivor, the day that they, you know, maybe they surprise you with what when you're actually going, but I would wear 70 layers of clothing that day. I would waddle onto that boat wearing like a sweater, a windbreaker, another jacket, a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, a tank top, a bra, a bathing suit, and the whole layers on the bottom too. Like,
well, they must limit you. I mean,
they definitely limit you.
What, are they
going to
peel me before I get on the boat? I'll probably fall in the water and just sink to the bottom. It's like, well, she wore too many clothes. She's out. She didn't survive. She's no survivor.
Clearly, when these dudes, some of the women too, but mostly the dudes, when they get the word, they must go straight to the gym and start doing sit-ups and not stop till they get on the boat.
Right.
Because they are all so shredded. And you just don't, why would you live like that? Like, I know you want to look good, but there's that one dude, it's like, he's,
I know.
His waist is paper thin.
Yeah, and it's just all muscle. You know, if I knew I was going to be on Survivor and I had like a month or so to prepare, I have no idea how long you get, I'd swim every day for 2 hours. That's what I would do. I'd swim and dive and sit on the bottom of the pool and just be swimming. I'd swim and swim and swim.
What is it when they go to council, tribal council, whatever that's called?
Yeah.
They're all dressed. Like, do they get to put on their other clothes or?
I think they dress because it's going to be cold up
it's
there.
Nighttime,
it
right.
does seem like it gets chilly.
Or in case they go home. I was just wondering.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, and I guess they all keep up the show even if they know they're not getting booted just to.
Right. But I sort of tend to agree with you. I think it gets chilly at night. They've even talked about how, well, at night it gets a little windy and chilly, so we move over to this other section of our camp. So I wonder if just at night they probably put on all the clothes they have to sleep in. Ugh, they must stink.
Would you make the spoons with someone out there if you were cast and you're going to be on TV, but you also know you're freezing your ass off?
Yes.
You would.
And in fact, haven't we even seen they've done nighttime shots where all of them are spooned together?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like, I mean, I think clearly you need that for warmth.
But
sometimes.
You wouldn't feel like, I better go over here.
No, by myself?
Right.
No, because I'd be over there shivering. Okay. I would, but I'd try to get between two chicks, I guess.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Well, we know you.
I don't need a hot dog and bun situation. I think you know where I'm talking
about. You guys are on fire today, says 415.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I guess I'm out of time. Actually, I'm really out of time.
Yeah, we're fine. Coming up in the trash. Well, first of all, we have another word so you can win $1,000. But I'm going to do a little more on the Tommy Lee situation. The plot thickens.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.